You are listening to Friday Forum. This is Rachel Cobb for KGLP. If you have a fever and cough or difficulty breathing or have been in contact with a COVID-19 person, you may call the RMCHCS COVID hotline at 505-236-1074. You may also call GIMC's hotline, 505-726-5888, the New Mexico Coronavirus Hotline, 855-600-3453. For New Mexicans with non-health-related COVID-19 questions, you may call 833-551-0518. New Mexico Senior Food Hotline, 800-432-2080. New Mexico Department of Health, cv.nmhealth.org. Arizona Department of Health Services, azdhs.gov. Also, newmexico.gov. coronavirusnm.org, and nationally at coronavirus.gov. The COVID-19 pandemic is impacting daily operations in the state. Of course, the decreasing income from oil and gas revenue has affected the state economy, as has the overall effects of the coronavirus pandemic. Gallup-McKinley County Schools just approved a rental agreement for use of Miyamura High School as a step-down hospital facility for those cases that are not directly connected to COVID-19 cases. But there are so many issues to consider that the state of New Mexico, working with other states, has in some cases had to improvise. I'm here with Lieutenant Governor Howie Morales, who has been an educator, and we'll touch upon that. And obviously you're knee-deep in the COVID-19 pandemic. That's going to be, I think, the running theme throughout our conversation today.
Yeah, it's absolutely been something that has kept us extremely busy, working to ensure that we're doing all that we need to do to protect New Mexicans and to continue to save lives. The state of New Mexico has, in many ways, been further ahead of when it comes to testing and other areas of dealing with the virus. But we still have so much more to do because we see that there's a need, specifically in the areas of Northwest New Mexico, as well as in the larger cities.
Now, many communities are following suit to comply with the governor's order. Basically, closing any non-essential businesses, including adding on any businesses that are principally sellers of alcohol products. Do you want to elaborate on that order?
Yeah, there's lots of discussion that have gone on. And so in the newest health order that was issued, there was a concern that there was issues that are around alcohol sales and many people loitering around the businesses and creating the impact of what we're starting to see more of the spread. It's difficult. Anytime that you're having to make decisions that impact small businesses and impact people's access to getting goods that they would otherwise have no problem attaining. But we also know from hearing from people in different communities, local communities, as well as leaders in those communities, that it's a problem that we needed to take action because, again, it all goes back to ensuring that we're taking care of New Mexicans and saving lives.
Both McKinley County Board of Commissioners and the City Council of Gallup, as I understand it, are following suit on the governor's order with regard to closing businesses which are principally sellers of alcohol. This does not include all establishments. There are some tied to grocery stores. It's hard to determine how that's going to work, but individual sales are restricted. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I give a lot of credit to McKinley County and the City of Gallup for really being leaders and knowing what's best for their community. And so when we've issued health orders out there, we also see that there's been even taken the step further, and that's been done from the local communities. And it's, again, that is trying to do all they can to protect those people that they are responsible for leading and representing. But with the measures that were just taken, that limited the sale of hard liquors in convenience stores. This new ordinance that McKinley County has put in saw that there was a huge need specifically with the homeless population. And so we wanted to make sure and support them in their efforts to protect those that they represent.
Now, this is not a perfect solution. It has been pointed out by several, including Dr. Jenny Way of Gallup Indian Medical Center, an IHS facility, that there are a number of individuals who have alcohol addiction, and curtailing sales in many cases makes it very difficult for them to get through this period and may lead to more admissions to health facilities, which are in some cases ill-equipped to handle the additional influx. Have you had any discussion about that aspect of the order?
I haven't, and so I just wanted to point out that what McKinley County and Gallup and what they have done is at the convenience stores. But I understand that there still is access to alcohol sales within certain locations there. But I have had this discussion, and, you know, you have a tremendous advocate in Senator George Munoz, Representative Patty Lundstrom, who have continually been talking and doing all they can to make sure that the state is providing the support that's necessary. It is a concern, and so I believe that the state has talked about that, and I hope it can come through to assist, especially in the detox areas. There's been communication that's taken place between Department of Health and the National Guard, and wanting to make sure that the commitment is there to assist. I think those are ongoing discussions that are taking place, and hopefully there'll be some agreement, and that support is going to be in place, especially for those who are really going to need those services sooner rather than later.
The other part of the announcement from McKinley County and the City of Gallup is to request self-curfew, not a restricted legal curfew that could be enforced, but rather asking if the governor might revoke the declaration of a health emergency, Executive Order 2020-004 regarding to curfew. But they have not made a firm decision on this. I think that there are guidelines that individuals should strive to self-curfew from 8 p.m. until 5 a.m. The Navajo Nation, of course, has a strict curfew for that period and has even had strict curfew over weekends.
Yeah, and again, this is just an example of what communities have done in response to this and trying to move forward proactively. With the discussion of curfews, we've also seen that it's not only restricted to McKinley County, to the people near Gallup, it's also something that's been expanded out. Taos, Las Vegas, just recently saw Isleta Pueblo doing that as well. So this is something that each community is taking that on their own and trying to do all they can to provide that support for those they serve.
For you and the governor's office, Howie, what are the biggest challenges for your office at this time?
Right now, it's making sure that there's several challenges, and I think that it takes communication and collaboration with all of our agencies. We're continually asking that we get more support from the federal government. We need that, and we see especially in the Navajo Nation, and we see that in the needs across New Mexico and areas nearby. More tests are always going to be essential and to get people tested, as well as ensuring that we can have the proper personal protection equipment, the PPE, which is continually a challenge. And I quite frankly say, you know, when the federal government and the president felt that it was best to have states find it on their own, it really created a lot of chaos and a lot of competition instead of collaboration. So we're dealing with that as well. We also see the impact with the healthcare side of it. We're seeing that many hospitals are laying off or furloughing employees at a time when more is needed. So these are some challenges that we have and that we're going to continue to deal with them. and have those discussions to make sure that we can provide the support, but at the same time, it's have the collaboration from different agencies.
There are a lot of politics nationally involved in distribution of PPE and supplies. There have been cases in which it was noted that President Trump had told states to get their own supplies. And then when they tried to, the process was subverted when the federal government, Trump, in a essence, outbid them on acquiring some supplies. It's a very complicated process. There are cases in which the federal government, again at Trump's direction in some cases, has made supplies available to some entities who are friendly to him and not to others.
Yeah, and I think that's the concern that we have. And, you know, and I give a lot of credit to our governor, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham. The experience really shows that her understanding of the Department of Health, and she was a cabinet secretary, her understanding of aging long-term services, as well as being a county commissioner, and then the understanding of the federal side has really proved to be beneficial for people in our state. I just think that, you know, we can't wait for Washington. We can't expect them to have a plan in place because that just hasn't happened. We need to move forward and do what we can to protect New Mexicans. But at the same time is that the dialogue needs to take place as well because, you know, the battle for PPE is really a battle to save lives. And we can't put a price tag. We can't put leverage on that from the federal side. We have to make sure we can get those resources as soon as possible.
Even more recently, another Trump controversy when he essentially said he had total control and could order the entire country to reopen for business, when in fact New Mexico and many other states are coordinating with each other to determine when that could happen. Do you want to talk about that just a bit?
Yeah, this is something that I believe that every governor, every administration want to do. We want to make sure we can get people back to work. We can make sure that people aren't at risk of losing their businesses. But we have to recognize that it can't come at the expense of lives, and it can't come at the expense of further spreading the virus. And so the plans that are in place and discussions and consortiums are absolutely helpful and they're beneficial. But I would think that, you know, to rush to that too quickly and then we start seeing us slipping as far as our number count goes, that's what we want to avoid. We want to make sure that it's going to be safe for people to able to go and do that and open business with every precaution in place.
And would you agree that it was not helpful for the President of the United States to infer that he had complete authority to order states back to work?
I think that was foolish. I think that was just characteristic of the President's comments that he'll make off the cuff. We live in a democracy, and for that to be mentioned or even to be thought of is something that every American should take offense to, because that's not the way that we operate in this country, and definitely want to make sure that we are doing it in a way that's going to respect local authority, state authority, but at the same time be there of service to assist those states when they're asking for help.
Howie, are you, is your particular office also involved in coordinating with other states on access to PPE or on long-term discussions about when businesses could reopen?
We do. We have our Lieutenant Governors Association meets every week. We have the discussions in place of what is happening, what could be done, what are some resources that are available. And bottom line is it comes down to we're all in this together and making sure that we can be of assistance. Discussions anywhere from small businesses to issues that we deal with personal protection equipment or even election issues. I think all these are important ideas that we get of how we can better serve the people in New Mexico.
Before I move on to another related subject, Howie, is there anything else you might like to add about what we've talked about so far?
I just want to say that to the people of New Mexico, and especially the concerns that are there in Northwest New Mexico, is that the work that is being done by each of us, staying home, practicing social distancing, ensuring that we're adhering to the health orders, they're paying off because New Mexico is seen as a leader when it comes to really containing as much as possible this virus. There's a whole lot that has to be done, and we still see that the numbers are increasing in San Juan. We see the numbers are increasing in McKinley County, but we can still take control of that by adhering and providing every amount of resource and support to work together to flatten this curve.
Recently there's been some discussion in the news about the fact that indigenous populations, native populations, are registering higher percentages, far higher percentages of testing positive for COVID-19. Part of that possibly due to the fact that higher percentages of native people are currently being tested than in the greater population. But that said, obviously New Mexico has a very high percentage of indigenous people, native people. And I wondered if you've had any discussions around that topic.
We have. And again, we are so appreciative of the cooperation and the work that we have with all of our Native American communities and the leadership that's in place right there. But we also want to make sure we're always respecting the sovereignty and to provide assistance. And so that's where I'm grateful for local leaders that you have right there in McKinley County and in the areas that are just advocating for more support, for more resources. And at times, I mean, insisting that these things need to take place. Those are the type of people that we want in the local communities to make sure that they're being heard because they're fighting every single day to provide the support for all those that they represent.
Howie, as an educator, obviously high on your mind must be the number of students impacted by the closure of schools and the move to remote instruction. And as you know, many students don't have internet access, and so paper materials are being sent out. Meals are being provided in many communities, including McKinley County. And I wondered what your perspective might be on how we get through this crisis in education.
It is a crisis, and it is heartbreaking because, one, as educators didn't get a chance to have closure or to say goodbye to their students. But at the same time is that it was really about protecting those educators, protecting children, and not having the virus spread. I can tell you from a personal perspective of two young children, a fifth grader and a second grader, it really is a concern, and it's an overwhelming stress on parents as well. We're going to get through this. We've got to make sure that we don't focus much on the curriculum side as much as we do on making sure that the brain is stimulated, making sure that there's a well-rounded approach to education, because I do feel for those families who have to work either from home or are essential, and then the responsibility of educating their children. PED is working hard to ensure that we're going to be there of support and a service to all those school districts who need that. There's no easy answer. Like I shared with superintendents and principals and charter leaders across the state, is that we don't have a guide. We don't have a playbook of how to do this, but we can learn from each other. We can learn what we can do best, and I would hope that we can do that, because at the end of the day, everything begins and ends with education, and it's important that we can get through this together.
Howie, you know that the rates of infection, or at least the risk of infection, is much higher among the incarcerated population. And certainly there is great risk in the ICE detention facilities, both for adults and for families and for children. Has the governor's office or your office been actively involved in pushing for release of some individuals?
Yeah, this is, again, one of those issues that very people are very opinionated. I think that they feel strongly one way or another. I understand that there's been a court case that has been opened up, a lawsuit, and the courts will determine on that whether people are incarcerated or they're not. We want to make sure that those facilities are safe, and that's going to be a key priority for us. on which direction that the courts lean on what has to be done here.
Have you had some discussions with other lieutenant governors across the country with regard to how they're handling the situation with ICE detention or with prison populations or jail populations?
I haven't had any discussion on that specifically with lieutenant governors across the country, but that's something maybe the governor's association has spoken, but that's something that hasn't crossed our agendas. Maybe that'll be on tonight's call. I'm not sure.
I think most of our listeners may have seen a video of Governor Lujan Grisham with a homemade face mask, very colorful mask, recently. Do you yourself have a face mask, or do you have members of your staff who are wearing face masks at the office or at home?
Yeah, so the staff were very limited on staff, because as you know, the Capitol is closed, and I'm working from home, governor's working from home, and we're doing the best we can to practice what we preach. But at the same time, those employees that are there, yes, they need to be wearing masks. Their primary role is to be answering phones, being available to constituents, and making sure that they're safe. I do have a mask of this. Generous people across the state, and I got a really cool Zia mask that was made. It's a non-medical mask, and I want to encourage people to realize that not take up medical masks, save those for the healthcare providers, but homemade masks, masks that can protect any of the transmission of the virus, I think are absolutely critical to utilize.
And just to remind people, we wear masks actually not so much to keep other people from infecting us, but to make sure that if, whether we are asymptomatic or not, to make sure that we are protecting other people.
That's exactly it, is that we don't know. There's so much about this virus that we don't know, but some of the research is saying that the droplets that may come out and the way that can be transmitted is just a protection to ensure if a cough happens or if any of the transmission would take place that could be blocked by the mask, that we use that and we utilize that extra protection.
Among the other guidelines, washing your hands for at least 20 seconds, that doesn't preclude that you might be washing your hands for a while, rinse, and you might get a little more soap and wash again, which is what surgeons do. There are other aspects of hygiene that are really critical. Not touching your shoes, or if you do touch your shoes, washing your hands immediately, or using hand sanitizer if water isn't available. Are there any other daily disciplines that you think our society may find to be routine in the coming years?
Yeah, and I think that all possible ways to prevent the spread, it has to be practiced. The most important thing that needs to be done is for people to stay at home as much as possible, if at all possible. Only go out for essentials, and if you're still having to work, to make sure to do that. But that's going to be the most important thing that can be done to protect people and to protect your own family. A lot of the guidelines that are out there, not to touch the face, which I have a hard time with because they just have a tendency to do that. But to keep your hands washed, to make sure that you're still practicing 6 feet of distance. All these things are beneficial, and it's showing how New Mexico has been highlighted. What we're doing and what the people across the state are doing is really showing the benefits. We just have to make sure that this is practiced everywhere and not take anything for granted.
Howie, I think it's always been noted that when handling money, you have to assume that you're handling money that every other person who's handled it has conveyed part of themselves onto. And so it is absolutely critical that when you handle money that you wash your hands or sanitize as soon as possible after handling money, and to sanitize surfaces that have been impacted. Are there other aspects of the handling of daily objects that we might consider, just sanitizing all surfaces that we come in contact with?
Yeah, and I think that's something that, people know many things that could be done, whether it's wiping down with disinfectants or just taking that extra step I would encourage people to do that, because I think we can never be too careful. And if once we get through this and we look back and say maybe we overreacted in certain areas, I would hope that would be the case, because that meant that we did all we could to prevent people getting contacted with this virus, and especially prevented people from having lost their life or a loved one's life.
The true heroes of this pandemic are everyone from the health workers who are exposed daily and may not have adequate PPE or other protections, other public servants, law enforcement, truck drivers who have found it difficult even to stop to get food along the way. Are there discussions around how these public servants can be better assisted by the state, by the region?
And I can't stress enough just how grateful we are for all those everyday heroes who are out there protecting us, who are working, who are doing everything to keep New Mexico and keep America running smoothly and as safe as possible. So you're right. All the people you mentioned, I think needs to be treated as heroes, because they are. But at the same time, we do have the importance. It's important that when we recognize, even if we're not showing any symptoms, even if we aren't in any way that would expose ourselves, every time that people go out and in the public, all you're doing is you're risking those individuals' lives, because they're the ones on the front line. So I want to make sure that we not only acknowledge them as heroes, but we also protect them by doing what we can individually and responsibly to ensure that they don't get infected as well.
Certainly in McKinley County and Gallup, we have individuals who are picking up trash, who are responding to calls, who are addressing intoxicated individuals. Those are very risky propositions, and we do really appreciate these everyday heroes.
We do, and again, I know that there's been a lot of people that have been impacted, and I think that we have to recognize that there's some services that are needed, unemployment benefits, any type of impact like that, that we also provide that support for them as well.
Howie, I wondered if you might like to take a few moments to think about anything else that you might like to put out there for our listeners.
I just want to continue to encourage people to take care of one another. We saw that there was such a concern at the grocery stores and the convenience stores when it came to hoarding. There's no need to hoard. Our water supply is safe. Our food supply is safe. Our paper product supply is safe. So just to be kind and be respectful and to only take what you need and leave extras for other people to have those basic essentials.
Howie, might take this opportunity to mention a few resources. We do have some announcements running on KGLP. Other media have these announcements out, print media and others. There are a number of phone numbers connected with local hospitals and such, COVID hotlines. A few things we might mention, newmexico.gov, which has general resources not only for business but otherwise. A recently started website, I think it was started by Patty Lundstrom and others in McKinley County and elsewhere, called coronavirusnm.org. And then nationally there's a coronavirus.gov site, which has some listings. There are also some area phone numbers. Would you like to mention any phone numbers that people could call for resources?
Yeah, I definitely would. And I appreciate you mentioning the most important resource. And the most important one is to go to newmexico.gov. I think that's the one-stop shop that can lead you to all other areas of support, whether it's talking about unemployment, whether it's talking about the state health hotline. Those are key. We have a lot of questions when it comes to unemployment benefits, for example, too, and that can actually lead you to that direction there. So I don't want to bombard anybody with so much information, but I do want to give some phone numbers that could be helpful. For the health hotline, that's 1-855-600-3453. That's the health hotline, 1-855-600-3453. 800-600-3453. Now, there's some information that's needed, an information hotline. That's going to be 1-833-551-0518. And an important number that people should know of, if you're caring for elderly or if you know some support that's needed for senior food, the hotline is 1-800-432-2080.
I've been speaking with New Mexico's Lieutenant Governor, Howie Morales. Howie, thank you so much for updating us on everything that's happening.
Thank you for the time. And again, we continue to advocate that we're in this together. It's our responsibility to work closely with community leaders.
If you have a fever and cough or difficulty breathing or have been in contact with a COVID-19 person, you may call the RMCHCS COVID hotline at 505-236-1074. You may also call GIMC's hotline, 505-726-5888. The New Mexico Coronavirus Hotline, 855-600-3453. For New Mexicans with non-health-related COVID-19 questions, you may call 833-551-0518. New Mexico Senior Food Hotline, 800-432-2080. New Mexico Department of Health, cv.nmhealth.org. Arizona Department of Health Services, azdhs.gov. Also, newmexico.gov, coronavirusnm.org, and nationally at coronavirus.gov.